Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. Right now we're going to talk more Chiefs and football. The Chiefs win on Sunday Night Football in dramatic fashion last night, 30-27 over the LA Chargers, and now have a commanding three-game lead in the division and the tiebreaker. And so this thing is done. And right now we have Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com. And, Jeff, I loved your tweet last night about Travis Kelce, as you wrote, passed Rob Gronkowski for most 100-yard receiving games by a tight end in NFL history with 33, most 1,000-yard seasons by a tight end ever, 6, and has as many 10-touchdown seasons as Tony Gonzalez with 3. We are witnessing greatness. And so we spent a lot of time talking about how great Patrick Mahomes is. Kelce gets his share. But I want to hear from you, from the outside looking in to Kansas City and the Chiefs, Travis Kelce. And tell me, in your opinion, what makes him so great and what you love about watching Travis Kelce.
I mean, to me, he might be the best receiving tight end we've ever seen. And we've seen Tony Gonzalez. We've seen Antonio Gates. We see Rob Gronkowski. And Travis Kelce is right in the mix there, guys. I mean, every time you need Travis Kelce to make a play, especially in SoFi Stadium, he seems to make a play. That's the guy Patrick Mahomes goes to. He trusts Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes trusts him. Obviously, he's the go-to guy. I know everybody wanted to talk about when Tyreek Hill left, what a difference that was going to make for that offense. I'm like, did Travis Kelce die? Because that was the only reason. That was one of the main reasons I thought the Chiefs would be all right, because they still have Travis Kelce around. And as someone who covers big bro Jason Kelce here, I'll tell you what, I've thrown this out before. The Kelce brothers might be one of the best brother duos in NFL history when it's all said and done. They both might end up in the Hall of Fame.
And look, that's a great point, because Kelce is a fantastic player in his own right. But, yeah, I believe we're watching the greatest receiving tight end in NFL history. And there were some people that thought, well, without Tyreek Hill, there'll be more attention paid to Travis Kelce, and he won't. I mean, Tyreek Hill alluded to that on his podcast, and he won't be the same. He's on pace for 117 catches, 1,454 yards, and 19 touchdowns. That's what he's on pace for, Jeff. That's mind-boggling.
That's records for the position ever. Like, most catches he passed Zach Ertz, most receiving yards. Like, I'm trying to remember who has the record. Is it Kittle or is it him?
I think Kelce now.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Kelce has that record. And then touchdowns, obviously, he blows away that record. I mean, look, I know a lot of people like to compare Kelce to Gronk because of what Gronk did in the postseason. And yeah, you can't ignore that, but I think longevity is really going to be in Travis Kelce's favor. And in a way, it was like in Tony Gonzalez's favor. When Gonzalez retired, I think a lot of people said, okay, this is the greatest tight end ever, and at the very least, the greatest receiving tight end ever. And we're going to begin to wonder, can Travis Kelce, does he have enough time to catch Tony Gonzalez and everything he does? But the way he's playing every single year, I think he can. Like, he has 6,000-yard seasons. Oh, by the way, they're all in a row. No other tight end has more than four. Just think about that.
Nate Bucchetti, I want you to think about that.
Oh, it's fun to think about. And you guys have all pretty much laid out all the things that make him such an incredible player. The whole team, though, construction seems to keep this thing rolling, Jeff. And I'm curious, like, because Stephen and I have been talking about, yes, it comes down to, you got Mahomes and Kelce. You got two of the greatest of all time. They're the guys you're going to count on. But they had guys like Justin Watson catching a big third down conversion. Sky Moore, who's been a relative non-factor most of the year with all these receivers hurt, come out and have his best day and make some big catches and big moments. Jody Fortson catches a long pass after a bad holding call against him. These are names that you don't expect to hear making big plays against your division rival on the road in the team that's supposed to be contending for you with you in the West. And we talked about that, the job that Brett Veach has done putting this roster together around Mahomes and Kelce. How impressed are you by that aspect of this team?
I'll tell you what, that's what impressed me about last night between both teams, right? Justin Herbert's been facing this situation all year. He gets Mike Williams back, catches a pass, he's out, right? And he's throwing to guys like DeAndre Carter, Josh Palmer, and he's making them effective. Well, you saw how good Herbert's been, even though numbers don't show. But Mahomes has been playing at an elite level with Justin Watson. Like you said, Sky Moore's been essentially a disappointment all year. You thought he was going to be a big part of the offense. He was. Marquez Valdes-Scantling only had one catch, and that of course, it was on the biggest drive of the game for the Chiefs. But, yeah, overall, it's Brett Veach, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Andy Reid. You give this guy anybody, and he just seems he's able to make play. I mean, look, Isaiah Pacheco. Who would have thought Isaiah Pacheco was going to have 107 rushing yards last night? I sure as heck didn't. So, yeah, I just think it's – my takeaway from that game is, what's going to happen when Juju Smith-Schuster's back and all these other receivers are healthy again? Mecole Hardman, how good is this team going to be? I mean, they're already – you can make the argument right now the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL at 8-2, and I know the Eagles are 9-1, and you got to give them credit for that. But man, it's Kansas City is really, really good, and I think if we found anything last night, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP of the league, bar none.
That's right. Travis Kelce is the MVP of the league right now, and the other stat that you know you love stats and. Things that we talked about showing how incredible the Chiefs are this year. But, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is on pace. And I know it's an extra game, but still, for over 5,500 yards to break the record, 5,551, 48 touchdown passes. And even those of us that believed he was still going to be the best quarterback in football without Tyreek Hill, this is still something that is just mind-blowing, the fact that he's on pace for over 5,500 yards, the fact that he could hit 50 touchdown passes this year. And, oh, by the way, especially the last few times on Sunday Night Football, we've seen what he could do with his legs. He has 238 yards on the ground this year as well. Again, that's he's, like you said, he's the MVP, and there's no debate right now, Jeff, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look what he's doing. It's every single week. Steve, it's every week he's doing this, right? He's thrown for 300 yards. He's thrown for 3 touchdown numbers. I know people like yelling for the interceptions, but that's Patrick Mahomes. You know, he's a gunslinger. He's like Josh Allen. He's going to throw interceptions, but when the lights shine brightest, this guy just seems to win football games. You know, I like to point this out to everybody here. You know, the Chiefs are the only team in the AFC West with a winning record right now, and we're 11 weeks into the season. And remember, this is going to be the best division in football history. Well, the Chiefs are up 3 games on the second-best team in this division. Oh, and by the way, they swept them. So the AFC West is a wrap. They're probably going to win home field advantage, you know, in the conference with their schedule, unless they completely blow it, which, I mean, they would have to lose to Cincinnati and somebody else along the way. But it just feels like there's going to be no stopping this team. They're just getting better every single week. And I noticed this like about 5 or 6 weeks ago when I was on with you guys. I'm like, really, their only blemish this year was an inexplicable loss to the Colts where you just kind of throw out the window. Besides that, you know, the Chiefs played well against the Bills, just not well enough to win. And I get it was in Kansas City, but, man, the tides have turned for this team. And Patrick Mahomes has just been playing out of his mind every single week. And I'll be honest, I think he likes having just one go-to guy to go to instead of two. I think he's a quarterback who likes spreading the ball around because the Chiefs know they're deeper at receiver, and he doesn't have to force-feed anybody. Like, last year, I thought he force-feeds Tyreek Hill a lot. And I'm not saying Tyreek Hill demand the ball or anything. I just think that's what you have to do sometimes. And sometimes it's a luxury, sometimes it's not. But as a quarterback, you're thinking, okay, I just got to go to the open guy now. When push comes to shove, I'm going to go to my guy, and that was Travis Kelce. So, I mean, I've just been so impressed with what this offense has been able to do all season, and I'm not surprised, because I said, as long as the Chiefs have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they're going to win football games.
Nate Buchanan.
Okay, so let's talk about the overall landscape of the league now for a little bit, Jeff, because I was watching Red Zone yesterday, like you do during the noon hour, and I always love doing it on days when the Chiefs play either like later that night or have like a Monday night game, when they're not involved in the daytime affairs, because you can kind of just widen your lens and look across the league. And every time I do, I appreciate this Chiefs team more, because I see a lot of mediocre football out there.
There's a lot of mediocre football.
Is that okay? That's fair. How would you assess things right now?
I've been saying this, you know, because I cover Eagles games every week, and there's a lot of mediocre teams in this league, and I'm starting to think the Minnesota Vikings may be one of those good, true mediocre teams after what the Cowboys did yesterday. But you're right, Nate. There's a lot of mediocre teams in this league, and there's a lot of bad teams in the AFC West. I mean, Denver and Vegas, I'm just kind of laughing at them. Like, Nathaniel Hackett's right. Someone had to win that game, and the Raiders ended up doing it. But, yeah, you're right. There's just a lot of bad, mediocre teams overall in the league. I'm just thinking around the NFC. Like, look at the NFC South. I mean, that's the definition of mediocrity. The NFC North, the Detroit Lions are in second place right now. There's just a lot of teams where you're just like, okay, my team can beat them, my team can beat them, my team can beat them. And, I mean, the New York Giants are 7-3. Do I think they're a 7-3 football team? No, but they're not being themselves, and I feel like a lot of teams do that around the NFL, and I think that's why I've been giving the Chargers a lot of credit with all their injuries, and yeah, even with Brandon Staley and some of his goof-ups he does, I feel like if the Chargers in the NFC, they'd have 7 wins right now, just because they have the quarterback, and they have the talent, and they're deep enough to survive. But I'm really curious to see a team like the Chargers, if they didn't have all their injuries right now, how good would they be? I'm not saying they beat the Chiefs or anything, but overall in the NFL landscape, I think they're at least a top 6-7 team if they're healthy.
We have Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com, and you could read his article I just retweeted, NFL Week 11 Overreactions and Reality Checks. And one specifically that I wanted to ask you about is about the Rams, because that's the Chiefs' next opponent on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. And the question you ask, are the Rams the worst defending Super Bowl champion ever, overreaction or reality? And you say reality, because they have fallen to 3-7 on the year after the loss to New Orleans on Sunday, and Matthew Stafford left the game as he was being evaluated for a concussion. This is the worst start, you wrote, for defending champion after 10 games, tying the 1999 Broncos and the 87 Giants. So tell me, how have things fallen apart for the Chiefs' next opponent, the defending champs, the Rams?
Well, first off, I didn't think the Rams would be 3. If someone had told me back in September the Rams would be 3-7 after 10 games, I'm like, well, who got hurt? Well, you know, the 99 Broncos were 3-7 after 10 games, but you got to remember, John Elway retired and Terrell Davis, that was the year he had his first significant knee injury, and they were just an absolute mess. Remember, they were trying to survive like Orlandis Gary back there, and Brian Griese was the quarterback. That team wasn't good. The 87 Giants, Phil Simms got hurt and he came back. It was just too little, too late. The Giants went on a run at the end of the year. I think they ended up 6-9. But this team, for example, Matthew Stafford, yeah, he had the elbow injury in preseason, but did you really think, you know, with all that talent on that roster, they were going to be this bad? Their offensive line is god-awful. I mean, Frank Clark, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, they should feast on this team come Sunday. The Rams have nobody to throw to. Allen Robinson's been the major disappointment. I mean, Tutu Atwell, you could say, has been their third-best receiver with Van Jefferson coming back. And really all he's done is catch, like, 2 passes for 60 yards, it feels like. Yeah, every time Tutu Atwell catches the ball, it seems like he makes a big play. But the Rams can't run the ball. They're such a disappointment. It's weird to see a Sean McVay coach team be this bad, because, you know, Sean McVay's boy wonder, and he was like in the Lombardi Belichick territory in terms of winning percentage and Super Bowls and stuff. Now he's facing his first major adversity of his coaching career, and they just can't get out of it. This is not a good Rams football team. And for a game we thought that was going to be like the game of the year or the big shootout, come week one, it's not there. I mean, I'll be honest, with the way the Chiefs are playing, they should roll over this team.
Nate Buchanan.
Is there any recipe that the Chiefs should fear that they don't roll over them? You know what I mean? Like, is there some way this game plays out that would cause a problem for the Chiefs?
Patrick Mahomes loses his mojo or something. That might be the only reason. I mean, if he has like a second half like he did against the Bengals last year, the Rams might have a shot. But, I mean, the Rams' offense is so discombobulated. I mean, they let the Saints just have their way with them yesterday. The Rams just aren't good. It's weird. Like, you see, I'm just trying to figure out on top of my head how the Chiefs going to lose this game. And I guess it's Chad Henne plays. That might be the only reason.
So this brings up an interesting point because we talked a lot. We talk about, you know, team building all the time, franchise building, and the way it's a copycat league. And the Rams did something that most teams in the league thought you shouldn't do, which was, you know, bring in a bunch of high-priced veterans and go for it, right? And it worked. They won the Super Bowl. And now you start to see more teams try to do that. Maybe the draft isn't as important. Let's trade away our draft picks and bring in star players. And the Chiefs did the opposite. They traded away Tyreek Hill, and they brought in their draft picks. Is this the other shoe dropping for the Rams? Is it as simple as that? Like, yeah, it might work in the short term, but you're definitely going to pay a price on the back end.
Oh yeah, they're definitely paying the price. I mean, they don't have the Lions have their first round pick, right? You know, that's a top five pick. Like, the Rams could have used that top five pick to, I don't know, improve their defense. I mean, I know they offered two first round picks for, I think it was Christian McCaffrey, and they're playing like NBA game here. Like, we're offered 2025, 2026 first round picks for these guys, and no, you shouldn't be doing that. Like, you have to have depth on your roster, and they just don't. And they've done a really bad job at developing offensive linemen. I thought they thought Joe Noteboom was going to be Andrew Whitworth, and he's not. He's a good player, but they don't have any depth on the offensive line. They lost guys like Brian Allen for an extended period of time, and I'm trying to think of the other guy they lost. They lost their right tackle for Rob Haverstein for a period of time, and you know, their run blocking is atrocious. I don't think they know who their running back's going to be, where it's Daryl Henderson or Cam Akers. All of a sudden, like, he was abducted by the Monstars, lost all his talent. So, I mean, come on. Like, this is a team where I'm just like, what happened to them? And, you know, they're trying to get Odell Beckham back. Why would you want to come back there? They have no chance of winning the Super Bowl. It's such a weird fall from grace how bad the Rams have become. And everybody used to make fun of the Cardinals and how they built their team and giving Kyler Murray all this money, but the Cardinals just went in and just beat L.A. with a backup quarterback who had no business. You know, I thought the Rams were going to win that game easily with the way the Cardinals have been playing. After watching that game, I'm like, you know what? The Rams, bottom line, they're just not any good, and it's going to get a lot uglier before it gets better, and they don't have the draft picks to replenish it. And I think a lot of the Matthew Stafford haters are starting to come out right now and say, yeah, Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, but he's a Hall of Famer. Heck no. But I don't know. I just feel like everybody has failed around Matthew Stafford this year. Matthew Stafford hasn't been healthy all year. I would say the Rams will be back next year, but how are they going to get the draft picks to come back, and how are they going to have the salary cap room to fix it?
Rams at Chiefs this Sunday at Arrowhead. Okay, before we let you go, you mentioned the Cardinals. They are playing tonight against the 49ers in Mexico City. Niners favored by 10. What do you expect tonight?
You know, I expect the Niners to win, but I'll be honest. For some reason, I just think the Cardinals run their offense not better with Colt McCoy. I want to say he's better than Kyler Murray, because that's not. But I just feel like Colt McCoy is a really good backup quarterback and can get the most out of a team when he plays in the short sample size. I mean, he's 3-1 with the Cardinals. He gets rid of the ball quick. Cliff Kingsbury points this out. He just seems to have command of the offense, and he really helps Kyler Murray and his development. He said he's been such an asset to them. I think the Cardinals are going to make this a game. And again, being in Mexico City, I think that's going to be interesting to see how the fan reaction there, because I think it will be 50-50 49ers-Cardinals. You know, they just want to see a good football game. But the 49ers have so many weapons, and with first place in the NFC West on the line, a chance to kind of knock the Cardinals out of the playoff race. I think the Cardinals cover, but I think the 49ers win. I'll just go with that.
Jeff, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
Yep. Always a pleasure, guys. Happy to come on.
That is Jeff Kerr from CBSSports.com. If you'd like to follow him on Twitter, Jeff Kerr CBS is his handle. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Adam Teicher from ESPN. We've got former Chiefs defensive end Bill Moss coming up. And then we'll talk to Matt Beisler as well. All that and more between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I'm not joking at all. If he's man-to-man, I'm going to give him a chance. And, I mean, he's going to win most of them. I mean, obviously, they got Derwin. So, Derwin's going to win his battles because he's, like probably the best safety in the league. Yeah, I'm going to give my guy a chance because I know how special he is.
That is Patrick Mahomes talking about Travis Kelce. When he's man-to-man, he's going to him, and that's it. And again, an unbelievable performance last night by Patrick Mahomes. All right, let's hear Andy Reid, who opened his press conference last night by giving us an update on a few of the injuries that we saw during the game.
Clyde has a high ankle sprain. Kadarius Toney hamstring tightened up. Thornhill has a left calf that he strained, and then Jalen Watson hurt his hand, but we'll see where that goes from here. But other than that, listen, a great football game. Our fans were unbelievable, the ones that were here, and we appreciate that. Brandon Staley's done a heck of a job with this football team, and these games. Come right down to the last series. I mean, it can go either way. I was proud of our guys for stepping up and doing a nice job offensively that last series that they had, and defensively the last series that the defense had. So, that's big time football at the right time, and much appreciated. So, Kelce again had another 100-yard game. It's, you know, he's done a nice job with that. It was good to get Pacheco 100 yards. I mean, we needed that today, every yard of it. It was good to see some of the young guys step up, whether it was Watson having a start and Sky stepping in there and doing a nice job on the offensive side. Defensively, Bolton was all over the place. I mean, he's been doing that all year. So, and then Dana had some nice rushes. Chris, he's a great player and made a great play when great players make them. So did a nice job on that interception. He actually caused that to take place. I mean, I could keep going. The offensive line, Pat Mahomes, I mean, what are you going to say there? So he calms everything down, both sides of the ball he helps out with. And Kelce does the same, and Chris and Frank, and it was good to have Frank back, Frank and also Bolton. So all those guys, the good players really stepped up and calmed things down when it was needed. So anyways, with that, time's yours.
All right, and now the time is Adam Teicher's from ESPN who joins us. Adam, that was a hell of a game last night. We're going to, I'm sure, talk about Patrick Mahomes and, of course, Travis Kelce. But I wanted to talk about a few players that redeemed themselves last night. You had Sky Moore, who had looked lost the past really all season, and he steps up big, has a couple of big catches, and was a big part of the offense. And then just within the game, Isaiah Pacheco had the terrible mistake on special teams that cost the Chiefs field position, and he comes back and runs the hell out of the football and gets over 100 yards. And Nick Bolton had two mistakes, the face mask and then the bad push on Justin Herbert. but he redeemed himself with that forced fumble and then intercepting that football. So it wasn't, even though they're the headliners, there was a lot of other players, young players, that stepped up and made huge contributions last night, Adam Teicher.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, it's really good news for the Chiefs that they can win without two of their top wide receivers and, you know, getting contributions from guys like you mentioned. I will say that, you know, Pacheco got beat on the Derwin James sack, too. I mean, Derwin James just blew him up. So if people are wondering why Isaiah Pacheco doesn't play more, I mean, that's a pretty good example right there. Because, you know, it's hard for the Chiefs to trust him right now in pass protection. So, you know, I feel like the Chiefs are going to need Jerick McKinnon, and they're going to need, I don't know if Ronald Jones is going to get in the lineup, probably will now that Clyde is down. So, but Pacheco played well at times last night, but there were a couple things he did that sort of illustrate that he's got a ways to go.
And see, that's, and again, you make some great points about players stepping up. You know, Justin Watson steps up and he gets a start. Yep. And he makes some big catches. But when you look at how this football team was able to absorb those injuries, and we thought, okay, Kadarius Toney's going to be a big part of the offense. And then he has to exit the game. But there are so many of these rookies, and like Justin Watson, that was a great free agent acquisition. I really felt like last night, not that it's not always on display, but that was one of those games where Brett Veach could sit up in his seat, you know, and look around like, yeah, we had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah, and it's not just this offseason. I mean, he's had a lot of good off seasons, you know, and that's why the Chiefs are where they are and look like they're going to be able to sustain this for a while. And, you know, going back to Sky Moore for a second, I think he earned some playing time going forward with what he did yesterday. I mean, the catches that he made, some of them were in huge situations that they had to have it. And so I don't think the Chiefs win without him last night. So, the problem is when everybody comes back and everybody's healthy, how much playing time is Sky Moore going to get? You know, he's going to probably, get pushed to the back of the line. But I feel like now the Chiefs know they can count on him when they have to go to him. So, there's only so many snaps to go around, and it's going to be hard for him probably to get a lot of playing time when everybody's back. But, that's a good problem to have, I think, right now.
Yeah, the bigger problem be for opposing defense is who the hell do you cover? Because the Chiefs have so many weapons that can hurt you. Nate Buchanan, you're on with Adam Teicher.
Good morning, Adam. We played right before you came on. We played the opening comments from Andy Reid, and he talked about the injuries, and unfortunately there was another handful of injuries. Toney with the hamstring, Thornhill with the calf, Watson, the defensive back, with a hand, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a high ankle sprain. Out of all those injuries, are there any that particularly concern you the most? I mean, these are all players that are playing legitimate snaps for the team right now.
Yeah, I mean, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I mean, he's not produced a lot, but he's part of this depth that we're talking about now. And now what happens now if the Chiefs have another injury at running back? And so, you know, that's one that I've kind of got my eye on, and that, he's part of their depth, and we know they need that. I mean, we saw it last night that they needed that. And the Kadarius Toney thing, this is something he had a problem with earlier in the year. You know, missed what, 5-6 games, something like that. So when he was with the Giants. So that's, you know, those hamstrings can be kind of tricky. And now the Chiefs are down, or at least last night were down, three of their top four wide receivers, counting him and Juju and Mecole Hardman. And, those guys will start coming back. Those guys will start coming back. The Chiefs are very confident that Hardman will make it back. This is not going to be a real thing with him. I mean, he's got to miss the next three games, but he will be back later in the season. And, I think Juju will too. So that situation will round itself through. But, that's another concern, is maybe not having him or any of those guys on Sunday against the Rams.
But, you know, we've joked about it all season long. If Clyde is out for a while with a high ankle sprain, you do have a fresh and ready Ronald Jones with no miles on those tires so far this season. That could actually that could be, even though he's been a little bit disgruntled, put him in this situation now. That could end up being a very savvy offseason acquisition if indeed they need him and he comes in and is able to help shoulder some of the load.
Yeah, could be. And, you know, you wonder a little bit about his fit with the Chiefs and, you know, what they really think of him, because the fact that we're 10 games in now, he hasn't dressed for one of them, is a pretty good indication of what the Chiefs, you know, feel about him. So, they might need him coming this week. I mean, I'm sure they will with a high ankle sprain. Clyde's not coming back. I'm wondering if he's going to be going on IR and then be down for four more games. So, yeah, I think Ronald Jones will be in uniform and he'll play some and we'll see. He should be motivated. I mean, he's playing for his career right now. This will be his chance to earn a contract with another team next year. So, you know, we'll see what he does. But, yeah, he should be playing some next week for sure.
Okay, I'll let Nate talk about Patrick Mahomes. I want to talk about Travis Kelce because, you know, it's just we have to mention both of them over and over again. This tweet from Jeff Kerr from CBS, I kept reading on the air earlier because it just crystallizes everything. I mean, the greatness, and people from outside Kansas City also, you know, acknowledging that, you know, he's the man right now. He's the best tight end in football. And honestly, one of the best, and I think when it's all said and done, the best receiving tight end in NFL history. So right now, he already has, 11 touchdowns? He's on pace for 117 catches, 1,454 yards, and 19 touchdown catches. And now he has, I mean, that's video game numbers. I can't believe it. And then we're talking about now he passed Gronk for most 100-yard receiving games in NFL history by tight end with 33, most 1,000-yard seasons by tight end with 6. Now he has 3 double-digit touchdown seasons. Describe his greatness to me, Adam Teicher. You've seen a lot, but you ain't never seen nothing like that.
No, I haven't. And, you know, it's, you know, I talked about this with Mahomes after the Tennessee game that, you know, with all that was going on, the Chiefs couldn't run the ball and you know, the offense was just kind of a mess. He sort of pulled them through. And I felt like the Chiefs never really needed him more than they did that night against Tennessee. Well, I feel like Kelce was maybe more valuable to the Chiefs last night than he's ever been, because of all the injuries to the other guys and the big nature of the game, that they can really do basically clinch the AFC West if they won that game last night, effectively clinch it. And I just felt like he had to come through for him last night. You know, they can get good contributions from some of these lesser receivers, some of these other receivers, but he was going to have to be the star, and he was. And, you know, making play after play. And some of the things Mahomes had to say after the game about him were really interesting. I never heard him say that before. You know, he's always referred to Kelce as one of the greatest, you know, one of the best ever. Well, last night he lost the qualifier and said he's the greatest tight end ever. And he said, you know, the best thing about about Kelce is not, you know, his speed or size or all that stuff. It's just in competitiveness. He just will not give in. He'll find a way to make things work. And not always, but most of the time, Travis Kelce does find a way to make things work. So, you know, just great timing on his part last night, because I felt like the Chiefs sort of got rid of one of their playoff contenders. I mean, that was a team that would have been in the race had they won last night, the Chargers, but not anymore.
Okay, I know I'm supposed to ask about Mahomes, so I will, but just a final thought on the Kelce thing. Adam, just to add to what you're saying, though, is not only did the Chiefs need him to step up, and I think that's part of, like, that gamer thing, the guys that rise up to the occasion, the bigger the stage, the bigger the you know, the more their team needs them, against the best safety in the game or one of the best safeties in the game. I mean, that part is a huge part too. It's like, it's not just you got to go help us win the game. You're going up against one of the best in the game, and he beats him. And that, I guess, does lead me to Patrick Mahomes, because it's the same thing with Justin Herbert. Like, this dude is a really good quarterback. He makes really good plays. It's almost just bad luck for him that he's stuck in the same division with an otherworldly player in Patrick Mahomes. I mean, and Stephen pointed this out, in order to have a good series like this, in order to have these great games, you have to have a game opponent. You have to have somebody that rises to that occasion. But gosh, it's got to be maddening for the Chargers and Justin Herbert to put those kind of performances out there and still come up on the wrong end of it almost every time.
Yeah, he was on fire last night for a lot of that game. I mean, he was putting the ball in some places that not a lot of quarterbacks can do. And I'm talking about Justin Herbert now. I mean, he was thought he had a great game last night until the end. But, you know, what it comes down to, Nate, is that, hey, Justin Herbert is a great quarterback. And the Chargers have a lot of good players, Derwin James and a lot of other guys. But they don't have Pat Mahomes and they don't have Travis Kelce, and that's a real problem for them right now. I mean, you remember Kelce had the huge game in that building in SoFi last year, you know, 191 yards, the winning touchdown in overtime. I mean, you know, he's given them problems before, the Chargers. So, you know, they have no answer for that. Derwin James did a nice job a lot of times last night, but not enough for them to win, because it's just almost impossible without dedicating more than just Derwin James for to limit the damage that Travis Kelce can do.
Now the Chiefs host the Rams, and it's so interesting, and that's why the NFL is so great, because it's unpredictable. And we look at maybe this stretch of games before the season started, and we're thinking, wow, they got to host the defending champs. They got to go to the Bengals. Then they got to go to the Broncos or Russell Wilson, probably battling for, you know, maybe they're battling for the AFC West. That's what most people thought. Now, the Rams, as our previous guest Jeff Kerr described, are the worst defending Super Bowl champs maybe in history. They're 3-7, and they're falling apart. The Bengals game is going to be tough. No doubt about that. That's going to be tough. But then at the Broncos, it doesn't look like the same thing it was supposed to be before the season. So what about this Rams game coming up? On paper, it just does not look like the Rams are going to be able to run with the Chiefs on Sunday. What do you think?
No, I agree. I mean, the Rams' best offensive player, Cooper Kupp, won't be playing. And I don't know whether Matthew Stafford's going to play or not, but my guess is that he's not going to play. I mean, the fact he couldn't finish that game yesterday, even though they haven't said he's got a concussion again, is pretty ominous for him. And so I wouldn't expect him to play. But even if he does, I feel like the Chiefs are in such a good place right now and doing so many things well that the Rams won't be able to keep up. And now you look at the final seven games of the Chiefs' schedule. You know, there's only two teams they play that would be in the playoffs right now if the season ended right now, and that's the Bengals and the Seahawks. And the other five opponents are teams that aren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, they're basically you know, playing out the string. There's two games against the Broncos and one against the Raiders and one against the Rams and one against Houston. So where are the Chiefs going to lose? I mean, you know, maybe Cincinnati, maybe Seattle, maybe the Broncos get them. I mean, I don't think so, but the way they play defense, you know, that's a possibility. But, I mean, are we going to be talking about the Chiefs running the table here, you know, and finishing with a bunch of wins in a row and going 15-2? I don't know. I mean, I think somebody's going to get them somewhere along the way. Maybe Cincinnati, that's probably the best shot for that. But, you know, we're on the verge of this. If the Chiefs win on Sunday, that'll be five wins in a row for them this year. Do you guys realize that if that happens, the Chiefs will have had a winning streak of at least five games in every single season that Andy Reid has been their coach? I mean, there were a lot – in 4 of the 6 years the Chiefs had before Andy Reid became their coach, they didn't win five games in the whole season. So it's just kind of dramatic how this thing has turned around. And I still, you know, even though it's, you know, we're 5 years now into the Mahomes era and 10 years into the Andy Reid era, I still marvel at what this franchise has become. I really have. It's really dramatic how things have changed.
Adam, when Fonzie is a fan of your team, you know you're great.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, there's all these people who are fans of the Chiefs now.
Right, right. Hey, that's right. Hey.
Where were they when Matt Castle was quarterback in the Chiefs, you know?
I don't know, but I was out there with my sons explaining, you know what, sometimes losing can build character. And so it built a lot of character. You mentioned at Cincinnati, and I'll leave you with this. They are going to – I think they're going to decide this thing, who's going to be the number one seed. I don't think they can be the number one seed, but they host the Chiefs in 2 weeks, and then the final 2 weeks of the season, they host the Bills and the Ravens back-to-back. And so it may come down to how these top three teams, how these teams do at Cincinnati, and whoever can win in Cincinnati can end up winning the number one seed. So I think that's fascinating because it looks like Cincinnati is getting back, even though they don't have Chase, they're getting back to the way they were playing last year. Hey, Adam, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, good stuff, guys. Talk to you then.
It is good stuff because Adam's talking about running the table. Let me tell you, you cannot ask me right now about the Chiefs because I will tell you they will run the table. All right? I'm in fired up mode right now, but why shouldn't I be?
Who's going to beat
them? Watching, Cincinnati's going to be a tough game.
No, the Chiefs are going to have the bit between their teeth for that one.
But man, it's just, to me, it's fascinating that between now and the end of the season, the Bengals host the Chiefs, the Bills, and the Ravens. Right?
Wow.
And that's, you know, how are they going to hold up? They got all those games at home. And how are these other teams, can they pick off that win? Because let me tell you something. We keep talking about the Chiefs and the Bills. The Ravens didn't look great yesterday. But, again, their schedule is garbage. And they're 7-3. At the Jags, hopefully the Jags can do something there. Home against the Broncos, at the Steelers, at the Browns, home against the Falcons, Steelers again, and then at the Bengals to end the season. I mean, if they can get past the Jags and not slip up against one of these teams, I mean, they should beat everybody. Then they could be a three-loss team going into Cincinnati. I don't know. I'd like to think something will happen where they'll lose a game or whatever, but that's in play. But it's all going to be who wins in Cincinnati. I like the Chiefs going to Cincinnati because they're pissed off from last year. And we've seen what a motivated, focused football team can do. And I can't wait to see that matchup. But the Rams are first. You want me to break, Marco? I'll talk all day long about the Chiefs. I'm filled with energy. I don't care. I don't need commercial breaks. I don't need nothing.
Right.
I love it so much. I know you're excited. You got the World Cup. You got the United States today against playing Prince Charles, now the king. Who's turned his back on Wales?
The Prince of Wales doesn't even care about Wales. He cheers for England.
The Prince of Wales doesn't root for Wales. How can you be the Prince of Wales and not root for Wales instead of England?
It's called colonialism.
He's got to kiss ass to everyone else, but that's fine.
He's probably never even set foot in Wales.
What if I'm just some guy sitting like a lump on a log or a gal that's saying, I don't know where to watch this game. I have no idea where to watch a World Cup game for the United States. I wish I could watch it in a fun, exciting environment with a couple of wild people running around on stage doing backflips and stuff like that. Is there something that those people could do?
Yes, they could go to the Power and Light District because it's going to be 55 degrees and sunny today, first of all, so it's going to be beautiful down there. There will be a couple of wild people running around doing backflips on stage, Allie Trost Martin and Hartzell Gray, and I'll be there as well to try to keep them in line. I went out and purchased a brand new American flag yesterday that I'm going to be waving around on stage.
Oh, yeah.
Our guy Dylan is going to be down there. 810 is going to have a booth there where we'll be raffling off an autographed Sporting Kansas City team jersey.
Dude, Dylan going to be chilling.
Yeah,
is what
he is.
He's going to be doing, you know?
Dylan will be chilling like a villain.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Guess what Marco said he's watching the match?
We'll be drinking some beer. Hope it's not spilling. What?
Marco said he's going to be watching it in bed. So that's what I asked him. I didn't know you.
Really?
Where are you watching?
Night.
He
had a long night last night,
I know.
Didn't you, Marco?
I go, where are you watching? He goes, in bed. And I said, what about going down there? He goes, well, Nate didn't ask me. If you invited him on stage, he'd go down there.
Come on. Come on, buddy. Come on down.
Can you trot him around there? like a show horse, trot him around on stage.
Last time we had, it's been 8 years, but the last time we had a World Cup watch party, we brought Jake Gutierrez up on stage. Yeah, How did that go?
That was an absolute disaster.
He was throwing necklaces at people.
This was before Jake stopped drinking.
Yeah.
We brought Jake on stage, and we thought, hey, you know what? We want to throw a bone to our producer. Jake loves soccer. Soccer has been a big part of his life. And, you know, let's have him come up here and work the crowd for a World Cup and give him an experience that he'll really appreciate because he loves soccer so much. And so then right when we're going on stage and me and Nate are up there emceeing this thing, I take a look at Jake and I think, oh, boy. This is good. I'm going to have the quick hook. This is going to be like Showtime at the Apollo. I'm going to have a quick hook on him, and I'll sweep him off stage. And so I was very, very carefully giving him the microphone. And you were talking already, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't know what was getting ready to happen. You said, I'm going to go get Jake. And you go, okay. And then you're like, everybody ready to do this, you know. And I come up there, and you were unaware of his condition is what we'll call it. And he got on that mic, and then what do you remember about that?
He just goes, hey.
Like he's talking to you, hey. Like he's just talking to someone, you know, hey.
Like he's trying to get someone's attention. Hey.
Hey, you know. And I'm like, how quick am I after to grab this microphone?
That was all he said. I think that was all he said.
He did know he did something like, hey, all right, Jake. I'm going to tell you, we all love the U.S. men's national team, and Jake's here to support him. All right. All right. Let's go, USA. And so that was it. We will take a break back after this on WHB.